This is Phil Carr. Phil Carr is on staff at Life Church Southfield. He's a pastor of leadership development there. And Phil's going to be sharing with us today. I sat through first service. You did an awesome job, man.
Thank you.
So I'm excited for all of you as Phil preaches and shares with us today. So if it's okay, I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm just going to let you do your thing. Father, thank you so much for my brother Phil. Just the work that he is doing in Southfield, we pray that you would bless that ministry. God, I just pray you would pour your spirit out onto him, pour your spirit out onto us. Just do a work in our hearts to hear your truth and to respond to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike, and good afternoon, Faith Covenant. So good to be with you here on this afternoon. I am excited. It's like visiting family because we're all a part of the family of God. And I'm equally excited. You know, one of the things I get an opportunity to do is I travel and I do a little speaking and I do training and coaching with churches. And one of the things I've devised as a habit is always to try to identify what a church is about and what it's like. And, you know, and so obviously I was prayerful about Faith Covenant. Well, what is Faith Covenant all about? When I got here earlier, I discovered that this is Jody's church, that Jody is a member here. And so that was a great start because Jody is one of the greatest people that I know. In fact, many of you know she worked at the Covenant office, and she's the real boss around there secretly, you know. Jody is the boss. You want to know what's going on? Ask Jody, you know. And so I said, wow, this is Jody's church home. And of course, I know Pastor Mike. He's an awesome guy. And then I love the name, right? Faith Covenant. How can you get any better than that? Right? And so then my assumption is that this church is about faith and faith sharing. Am I wise to assume that? Yeah. And so again, and then of course, you know, I had the privilege of doing the first service and meeting people. And, you know, you can tell things really quickly about a church. And two things emerged that was really impressive to me about Faith Church. Number one, I heard hunger in the voice of people, and I saw hunger. And so my assumption is that you have a lot of hungry people, people who are hungry for the Lord and hungry to grow. And so I like hungry people, you know, because not everybody is hungry about their faith. But the second thing that I noticed just in a brief period of time, and it's my absolute favorite, not only for churches but people in general, I measure people ultimately by this quality, and that's sincerity. I want my politicians to be sincere. I want my pastors to be sincere. I want the person who's serving Big Macs at McDonald's to be sincere, you know? And so, again, I'm so excited to be here with you and just look forward to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us on today. Let me briefly pray and ask God's blessing over our time in His Word. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for another day. We are so glad that last night was not our last night. Today is a new day, another opportunity to enjoy life, to engage the lost, and to glorify our great God. And so we've gathered in this moment, oh God, to hear a word from you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be the great teacher in our midst on this afternoon. And our desire for each and every one of us is that none of us will leave here the same way that we have come. And so we pray, oh God, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Allow the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable in thy sight, oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let the people of God say, amen, amen and amen. Well, as most of you know, if you've been here for any amount of time, that the current series that we are in the midst of is titled, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? And the idea there is that obviously we serve an awesome Savior. And in the Gospel of Luke in particular, we learn a lot about who Jesus was, who Jesus is. And in particular, we learn the fact that Jesus is on the inside of us. And so ultimately, the question becomes, will you allow the real Jesus to stand up in you? Will you allow Jesus to have his way in you? Early on in Jesus' ministry, he said something very interesting. He said, in terms of his relationship with God the Father, he says, I must decrease so that he can increase in me. And that's really the secret to living a victorious Christian life, is it not? Getting to the place where you allow God the Holy Spirit to have his way in you. That you give the steering wheel of your life to Jesus. And so in particular, with this particular message on last week, those of you who were here, you know that Pastor Dennis preached a very fine message. And in particular, he talked about the things that were lost. And so he talked about the lost coin and the lost sheep. And he talked about the lost son. And in his message, I thought it was interesting because he referenced the primary text that I'm going to be discussing on today and the person that I want to give attention to. And that's none other than Zacchaeus. How many of you remember him? Zacchaeus. I like to call him the little man with the big heart, right? And so Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus and his life was never the same. And I think from that encounter, we can learn so much about our calling, not only as followers of Jesus, but also as evangelists and as soul winners. And one of the things that we got to realize as we grapple with what is going on in the world around us today, and many of us are greatly grieved by a myriad of things, you know, what's going on in the White House and in the political sector, more recently with this, issue with Dorian. And again, there's just so much that is going on. If you are not careful, you can allow yourself to get discouraged. But the thing that we have to remember is that Jesus is still on the throne. And not only is Jesus on the throne, but he has given a solution to the problems and the issues of the world. It's called the body of Christ. It's called the love of God. And here's the deal. What we have to do as his followers is we have to spread and share God's love everywhere that we go. And the primary way that we do it is like Jesus did in the text that we're about to read in a minute with Zacchaeus. And that is, we got to share our faith. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so real quickly, want to read into your hearing the text, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. So much that we can learn about faith sharing and soul winning in this text. The thing that we got to realize is that as followers of Jesus, our primary responsibility is to fulfill the Great Commission, to go into the world and to make disciples of all nations. And God is calling all of us. It's all hands on deck. God requires, God desires that each and every one of us will not just be members of Faith Covenant Church, but that as members of the kingdom of God, that we will carry out our responsibility of telling others about the love of Jesus. Get this, that we will wake up every single day and do that. And so that's what I want to talk about on today. And so Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10 gives us great insight on how we can be more inspirational as soul winners. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector and was wealthy. And one of the things we want to highlight in this message today is just like Jesus, you have some Zacchaeuses in your life. You have some Zacchaeuses in your family and in your workplace and in the neighborhood where you live. And you're going to run into some Zacchaeuses even when you leave here today after the celebration and you go to Kroger's or you're going to run into some Zacchaeuses like Jesus. It goes on, verse 3, it says, he wanted to see who Jesus was. You know, I like that statement because I think it captures very well what faith sharing, what soul winning is all about. It's all about helping people to see Jesus better. The reason we need to have kingdom conversations with those who don't know Jesus is so that, like Zacchaeus, they can see Jesus better. It says, though, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. There were some people in his way. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. How many of you know that Jesus is coming your way? Jesus is coming people's way. Jesus is alive and well. And Jesus, unlike other gods, he interacts in the lives of humanity. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. You know, as I was reading that text, it just dawned on me. How did Jesus know his name? You know, I mean, he just shows up, he comes back, and he didn't say, hey, bro, what's your name? He said, look here, Zacchaeus, come down here. It highlights the fact that God is omniscient, and God knows all things, and a part of what we need to do as we share Jesus with others is let people know, like Zacchaeus, God knows exactly who you are. God is aware of you and your situation and your circumstances, and he has a solution for your life, and you don't have to be afraid, and your life can change instantly if you just invite him in and get close to him. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. Verse 6, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. How many of you say, boy, wouldn't it be nice if when you shared your faith with people that they would respond that quickly and that nicely? I mean, you know, it doesn't generally work that way. But Zacchaeus came down at once. Verse 7, all the people who saw this began to mutter. That was the haters in the crowd. There's always haters in the workplace. And it says, he has gone to be with the guest of a sinner. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give you half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Isn't that an awesome response? Jesus said to him, I love this. Today, salvation has come to his house. Some of you have relatives and you have been prayerful for them for many years, and they still acting like they don't have no sense and like they have lost their minds. But you need to know that God is still saving and that salvation can come to their house. It goes on, verse 9, Jesus said to them that salvation can come to his house because this man is the son of Abraham. And verse 10, which is the key verse of this 19th chapter in the whole book of Luke, says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. In other words, that is what God is all about. Not only is Jesus the Savior of the world, but he is a soul winner. Likewise, as children of God and as followers of God, we must not just be servants, but we must be soul winners. God is calling for all hands on deck. Not just Pastor Mike or Pastor Dennis, not those of you who say you have the gift of evangelism, but God is looking for everybody to get involved and to be active in sharing their faith in their circle of influence. And so wherever you are at in your faith-sharing journey, and quite frankly, some of you have never shared your faith, to be honest. We have people who have never shared their faith. And others of you share it every blue moon. But no matter where you're at, God is saying to all of us, we need to go to the next level. That if we're going to see a lost people in a lost world change, then those of us who have met God and we have the solution to the answer, we need to pass it on to others. Now, here's the thing. I want to talk about faith sharing today. Let's be clear. God's not looking for you to be the next Billy Graham. He's not looking for you to be George Whitfield. Some of you may have heard of him, Billy Sunday. He's not even looking for you to be Bobby Ashley, which was a gentleman that I discipled years ago who was a high volume evangelist, but what God is saying is do your part. Do your part as a member of Faith Covenant Church. Do your part as a member of the kingdom of God to tell the Zacchaeuses that you meet that God is alive, that God is real, and that God wants to be a part of your life. And so that's what we want to talk about on this morning. Now, a couple of other passages that are crucial to this thought of soul winning. Proverbs 11 and 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." One of the wisest things that you can do as a Christ follower is invest time in sharing the good news of the gospel with others. Inviting others to come to Christ and to come to church. That's one of the wisest things you can do. You know, and it's real interesting because it says he who wins souls is wise, which means that's the wise thing to do. But it also means probably that to win souls, you have to be wise. You need some evangelism wisdom. And I want to share some of that with you today. Also want to lift up 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23. It says, "To the weak I became weak." This is Paul speaking. "To win the weak." There's that key word, to win the weak. And he says, "I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some." And look at verse 23. This is key. Well, Paul, why are you doing all of that? Because here's what some of us say. Well, you know, that's not my personality. You know, that's not my thing. And God is saying, hey, it's the Great Commission. We all are called to do it. Yeah, well, you know, I don't feel ready. You don't have to feel ready. It is what we're called to do. And look what Paul says. Paul says, if it's not your personality, come outside of your personality. Why? Verse 23, "I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing." Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things that you can do to make God happy, to bring joy to God. But the biggest thing that you can do is to share your faith with the lost. And so we need to get better. We need to go to the next level. And briefly, with the time that I have remaining, I want to share just a few things with you that, at least for me, it revolutionized my approach to faith sharing. One of the things that's most exciting to me is the fact that God allows me. You hear what I said? He allows me. He doesn't force me, but he allows me to play a role in sharing the good news of the gospel with people who are lost. What a privilege it is. And so there's three things that I want to highlight, and we see all three of these things in the text, in the encounter that Jesus had with Zacchaeus. We see all these three things at work in that particular text. And so let me give them to you. Key aspect number one, you say, well, how do I become more inspirational? How do I become more active in soul winning? Number one is the gift. We must view and do soul winning as a gift. We must realize that the opportunity to share Jesus with others, to talk about the kingdom of God with others, is a gift. It is a gift. First of all, it's a gift we have received, the gift of salvation. That's a gift that you have received. Now, I don't know about you, but my testimony is it's the best thing that ever happened to me. When Jesus came into my life has never been the same. Now, if Jesus came into your life and your life is the same, then maybe he didn't come in the right way. Because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come, and it's a gift. But here's the thing. It's not just a gift, but it's literally the greatest gift that life has to offer, salvation. There is no gift that is better than the gift of salvation. The reason I say that is because some of us act like we're selling Hoover vacuum cleaners when it comes to sharing our faith. Oh, man, this thing is $2,000, and I got to talk people into it. No, it's a gift of salvation. First of all, it's free. The gift is free. And secondly, it's the gift that will satisfy the hurt that you have and the hope that you lack and what you're really looking for. And so we have to be mindful. If we're going to be more active, we got to be mindful. It's a gift. It's a gift that God has given to us. Get this. It's a gift that we have the opportunity to offer to others. I was at a church for many years called Evangel Ministries, and one of the things we used to do, we used to have some special outreaches at Thanksgiving as well as at Christmas. And one of the things we did for many years at Christmas time is that we had a partnership with Myers and the Detroit Lions, and so we had the opportunity every Christmas season to offer, get this, $1,000 shopping spree to families. And we were able to choose 20 families in the church or inside of the church and just say, look here, you got a $1,000 shopping spree. As one of the pastors on the staff, I had the privilege of calling 4 to 5 people to let them know that they had the gift of a shopping spree. And let me tell you, I was excited. Because, you know, people would hug you, they would kiss you, and they would do all kind of things. Why? Because they were being offered a notable gift. If that's the case for a $1,000 shopping spree, imagine how much a gift is eternal life in Christ and abundant life in Christ. And here's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He don't just give you eternal life and abundant life, but he helped you change your regular life. Is a gift, and I realized that it was a gift, and that made me more excited about sharing my faith, because what? It's a gift. Remind yourself, it is a gift. You get to wake up every day and partner with God to help hurting people to get help. John 4:10 says, related to this idea of a gift, Jesus answered her. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus answered her, if you knew, here go that word, the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you, I love this word, living waters. Jesus would have given you living waters. And the idea of living waters is he would have given you exactly what your soul hungers for. That is what people want. That is what people need. And we have the opportunity to invite people to come and to receive. So the first key aspect is this idea of the gift. We see those in verse 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to his house. Jesus gave Zacchaeus the gift of salvation. But there's a second thing. There's a second thing. If we're going to be inspirational in our faith sharing, not only the gift, but number two, and I love this, the invite. And so we need to realize that sharing our faith or evangelizing people is not a fight. It's not a debate. I don't have to be an apologetic genius. I don't have to know the Bible back and forth. In fact, you don't have to know anything or not much about the Bible. You can still invite, because it's an invitation. Because at the very least, get this, at the very least, you can tell people about your experience. Would it help to know the word? Yeah, it would help, but you don't need it. And we know that again, going back to John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, which is one of my favorite evangelistic encounters of Jesus. Jesus meets this woman, and he has a kingdom conversation with her. And at some point, he says, hey, if you asked me, I would have given you living water. And what did the woman say? She said, look here, give me that living water. And she received salvation right in that moment. And here's the thing I love. Immediately, she left there. She went back to her home. She went back to her neighborhood. She went back to her friends. She went back to her families. And what did she say? She didn't give them John 3:16. She said, I met a man who told me everything about myself. And as a result of that, people got saved. People gave their lives to the Lord. Why? Because they knew that lady's background. And they said, hey, if Jesus could save you, sign me up. Now, I know most of you with your life, you're doing pretty good, right? Most of you, you know, you're doing pretty good. But some of us, we got a nefarious background. And if Jesus could save me, Jesus could save you. But here's the point. It's an invite. And a part of what we got to learn if we're going to become more excited and active in my faith is that all I got to do is plant and water. It's God's job to bring the increase. All I got to do is tell as many people as possible about Faith Covenant Church. Hey, I go to Faith Covenant Church. Where do you go? Do you go anywhere? Why don't you go anywhere? Well, why don't you give us a try? And if they say no the first time, you just keep coming back, right? Like the Energized Bunny. Well, we got a big deal going on today. We got bounce houses and all those, and you just keep inviting them to come. And so, but here's the key. Understand that it's just an invitation. You don't have to be disappointed. The numbers of who actually come to Christ is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to wake up every single day to listen to the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit speaks, you need to share. You need to tell people about the kingdom. You need to tell people what God has done for you. And let me tell you something. Something as small as saying to the right person at the right time, Jesus loves you, can go a long way. That's faith sharing. People are going through things in their family, and in the right time, if you let the Holy Spirit lead you, Jesus loves you. God sees you. Get this. Everything is going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Why do you know that? God told me that. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, maybe you need to believe in God. And so we got to invite. We got to invite. But here's the third one. Here's the third one. Key aspect number three. Not only the gift, realizing that salvation is the greatest gift that has ever been offered. Number two, the invite. Use that as a style. Stop trying to tackle people with the gospel. Just tell them what's available. Invite them. But thirdly, key aspect number three, the lifestyle. You have to make evangelism a lifestyle. You have to make soul winning a lifestyle. You say, well, how often should I share my faith? I would argue every day. That you ought to wake up every day, and that you ought to wait and look for somebody to share your faith with. I'm not saying force it on anybody, but I'm saying that if your antennas are up and if your eyes are open, God will show you somebody who needs to hear the good news of the gospel. But here's the key, make it a lifestyle. You don't have to make time to share your faith, you got to take time. You're going to go to the grocery store once a week or once every other week. Most of you ladies are going to the beauty parlor every week, or at least once a month, right? Somebody there needs to hear the gospel. Your car is going to act up and you got to go to the auto mechanic. Are you looking? Are your ears open? See, Jesus with the woman at the well, he was just there to get some water. And then the woman happens by. And then the next thing you know, he's praying for her. He's offering salvation at the well. He was there just for water. You don't have to make time. All you got to do is take time. You need to share your faith as you live your life in the workplace, in the marketplace. You have to make faith sharing a lifestyle. One of the things I think that is helpful is that you have to set some goals for your faith sharing, for yourself. What's your goal? How often are you going to share your faith? For me, I try to do it at least 3 times every day. Now, you don't have to choose 3, but at least once a week, you ought to share your faith with somebody. And so you need to set yourself a number. You need to set yourself a goal. Can you exceed those goals? Yes, you can exceed those goals. And Pastor Mike mentioned it in the first service. Social media is open. You can use social media. That counts. You can encounter and engage people on Facebook and the other social media. But here's the thing, day in and day out, every single day, you ought to be sharing your faith with somebody. You ought to be telling somebody Jesus loves you. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Look here, you need to stop saying, well, you know, that's not my business, and you know, and people have their own right to believe what they want to believe. Yeah, they got the right to believe, but you need to represent God in the mix. You need to believe passionately that what we are offering as the body of Christ, that we're offering the only true and living God, that we're offering the only solution that really works. Do you believe that? Maybe that's what the problem is. We don't really believe that. And because some of us are struggling ourselves, we don't want to share the gospel with others. And so as I close on today, I want to give a challenge. It's an informal challenge. It's not a formal challenge. A formal challenge means you got to do it or you're going to be in trouble, right? But I just want to give an informal challenge, because here's the thing. No matter where you're at in your faith sharing journey, we all can do better. We all can go higher. We all can be greater. And there is a next level for all of us. You don't have to jump to 3 a day, but do a half a day. Do something. So here's the challenge. Over the next 30 days, I want you to have a prayer and share challenge. And it's multifaceted. Let me give you some dynamics of it, and you can decide before God. For the next 30 days, you're going to share your faith with at least one person a day for 30 days. One person a day for 30 days. At least one. Some of you may want to do two. Some of you may want to do 3. Secondly, you're going to pray for the salvation of the souls of the lost for 30 straight days. Every day you're going to pray for one or two or more people for 30 days. So you can share for 30 days. You can do prayer for 30 days. You can do prayer and share for 30 days. Or the granddaddy of them all, for the next 30 days, look here, God, I'm going to jump into the deep end. I love you so much. I'm going to do for the next 30 days, I'm going to do prayer, salvation prayer, and share, and then I'm going to journal. I'm going to get me a little notebook. I'm going to write a little something about what I did that day and how it went and what I thank God for and who responded, etc. And so as we close on today, let me just say this. You have Zacchaeus in your life. And like Jesus in Luke chapter 19, he shared the good news with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus' life is not the same. We're still talking about him 2,000 years later. There are some Zacchaeus in your life that God wants to use you to bring about change and transformation. If you will be inspired to share, you got to inspire yourself to share and others to care. Amen.